Our message tonight is entitled, You Can Live Right. And that's a simple proposition that I'm making. And I hope that everybody here, especially everyone who has been harassed by the devil, will go away tonight with that conviction, oh, yes, I can. I want to tell you, first of all, that when a man says you can't obey God, when someone says, either to himself or to others, you can't keep God's law, when someone says you can't help sinning, that person is implying an accusation against God himself. Did you hear me? Now, maybe you've never thought of that. And if you think of it, you have to admit it is a solemn thought. And I'm going to say it again. When a person declares that you cannot live a good life, that you cannot obey God's commandments, that person is implying an accusation against God. And I repeat, that is serious. Yea, that is even dangerous. And think of the men who say they are called of God, who will stand up and say, you can't keep the law. Yet God says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Now somebody is lying. Either you can or you can't. If you can't, then God's a liar. And if you can, Now, I don't want you to miss this. If God Almighty says to you and me, obey my law or you're going to be lost. And if we can't do it, then God is unfair. God is unjust. God is unkind. Yea, God is stupid. That's a serious accusation to make against God. For only an unjust person would tell you to do what you can't do under penalty of death. Is that clear? That would be like me bringing up a 5-year-old child and telling him to pick that piano up and carry it out of here or else I'm going to kill him. You would think I was mean as the devil, wouldn't you? And if you say that God is telling you to obey him and if you don't obey him, you're going to be lost and you can't? I think you understand what I'm saying. Not only is that person accusing God, but that person is also refuting the scriptures of God. Whenever a person says you can't obey God, that's the flesh talking. And instead of really accusing God, he is accusing himself. He is saying, I'm not victorious. For if he were victorious, he would tell you that you could be too. Amen. So it's self-incriminating for a man to say that. And I say also he is refuting the word of God. And he falls in the category mentioned by St. Paul in 2 Timothy 3:5. When after he had named all these sins, he said, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You see, if a man tells you you can't obey God by yourself, he's right. But if he tells you you can't obey God, period, he is denying the power of God. He doesn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. You can't obey God by yourself, but that's what the Holy Spirit is for. And Christ said, the Holy Spirit will not only be with you, he's going to be in you. And Paul said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you through the presence of the Holy Ghost will do the works of the law and give you credit for it. Oh, yes, you can. Yes, you can. You may live right. Not only that, God demands it. In Titus chapter 2, and I do hope you're taking notes. You know, I'm doing some big talk for you not to check on. And as I've told you last year, and I'm going to tell you this year, I wouldn't let anybody talk to me this way without checking on them. You know, I get people's dander up. And I wouldn't let anybody bother me that way without checking. Amen. Now let's go back to the scriptures. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, the Bible tells us there is a power available teaching us that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen.
Yes.
Some folk will say, well, if I didn't live in Washington, I could live right. If I didn't live in the ghetto, I could live. There are saints right here in Washington living in the ghetto who are living right. Let's say amen out there. You might as well stop excusing yourself, because God is not recognizing an excuse. God says, in this present world, with all the immorality, with all the X-rated movies, with all the rock and roll shows, with all the dirty peep shows, with all the cursing and with all the foolishness that's going on, he said, I want my people to live soberly, righteously, and godly right here. And God said, the reason I want you to do it right here is because there are some folk out there doing those things, and if you are living right, they'll see your good works, and they will want to be Christians too. So you got to live it here. And God doesn't tell people to do what they cannot do. I want to repeat my proposition again. You may live right, and God has made a provision so that you can. God says, all I ask you to do is believe in me, and believe on me, and then believe me. And if you'll hide my word in your heart, you will not sin against me. I have made a provision. Not only that, in Jude and verse 24, the Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless, without fault. God has said he can do it. I believe God. Do you? I believe in God. Do you? I believe on God. Don't you? In James chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, the reason a lot of people say you can't live right, they want to make an excuse for themselves. They want to justify their weaknesses. They are caught up in something or the other that they don't want to give up. And so they are making excuses, and they want everybody else to share in that same philosophy. And somehow this makes them feel that maybe in the sight of God that takes care of it. Oh, no, it doesn't. The Bible says if you want to resist the devil, flee. I mean, if you want to overcome sin, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe God. I believe in God. I believe on God. The problem today is folk don't want to resist the devil because they enjoy his company now and then. They enjoy some of the things he has them doing. They don't want to give up these sins that they're clinging to. They don't want to give up that circle they party with. They don't want to stop going to the disco with its flashing lights and its heavy beat. Most people, instead of fleeing, crawl away from sin, hoping it will catch them. The good Lord has told us very clearly, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 16, God says, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. That didn't say stop doing so much evil. It didn't say put away part of your evil. It says cease to do evil. I want to appeal to your intellects. Why belong to a church if you don't plan to be a Christian? Why bother with religion? Now look, you have to give a lot of offerings and you spend a lot of time riding the trolley or the bus or whatever, and you have to drive your car and gas is $1 a gallon and go sit in a church that you're not even enjoying anyhow. Why bother? If you don't mean business, if you're just playing a game, why bother? There is some pleasure in sin, even though it's temporary. At least you ought to get that. Now, if you plan to serve God, let's stop making excuses for self, and let's stop bellyaching about the pressure. There is a power available. He is able to keep you. The Holy Ghost will come into you. He'll give you a brand new mind and brand new hands and brand new eyes, brand new desires. You can live right. Oh, yes, you can. If you can't, then God is an imposter and has perpetrated fraud upon the human family. And we all ought to forsake him and go out. Oh, beloved, I long for the privilege of preaching the truth. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, write it down. He said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? A man who is unwilling to obey God is a liar every time he calls him Lord. Now, you may call him Savior, because that's what he is, of the whole world, if the whole world is willing. But a Lord is somebody who directs you. A Lord is a boss. A Lord is someone who is in charge of your affairs. So Jesus said, don't even call me that unless you're willing to do what I tell you. I'm not your Lord. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? I want to make something very clear to you tonight, and I want to talk to the worst person here. I want to talk to the worst sinner that's listening to me right now. And I want to say to that sinner, Christ died and worked out a plan, and that plan works. And while many people are standing around making excuses, other folks, some of them not even educated, some of them living in poor sections of town, some of them living in run-down areas, some of them living in dangerous areas, while some of us are making excuses, other folks without enough food to eat and without proper clothing to wear and without the necessities of life, people like that are doing God's will every day. I read a story about a man once who was freezing to death, and he was trying to get home, and he knew he was in trouble. And finally he got to the river, and the river was frozen. And he said to himself, if I have to go all the way into town, I'll die before I get there. But if I can take a shortcut across this river, I can probably make it home. And so the man stepped out on the ice, and it was night, you know, and he bounced up and down a little, and he was trying to decide if the ice was thick enough. And his faith was so weak, he laid down on the ice, and he was crawling. And that river was about 100 yards wide. And he was crawling on all fours, nearly freezing to death, trying to go across because he didn't think the ice was able to keep him from falling. And while he's down there crawling on the ice, suddenly he heard a sound like thunder. He didn't know what on earth it was. At first he thought maybe the ice is breaking up. Maybe this is the end of me. But when he looked back, he saw torches. And on horseback were a bunch of men with these torches in their hands. They had come riding down out of the field and right onto the ice. And while he's down there crawling and scared half to death, here go 6 men on horseback galloping at full speed. The man felt like a fool. He said, I'm down here crawling and half scared, and men are running by me on horseback. We're standing around wondering, I wonder if I can live, oh Lord, what's going to happen to me? And folks are living right every day. They on horseback, galloping, and you crawling. What kind of God do you think you serve? Now, I will admit to you that a new birth is necessary. It is not just an alternative. It is an indispensable necessity. You're not going to live right as you are unless you're born again. Now, that's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Not a pleasant suggestion. You must be. There's no other way to do it. You've got to be born again. And with the new birth comes this power. And this power is available as you need it. How do I get it, Lord? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Well, Lord, why don't you just give it all to me at one time without me asking? If God did that, you'd get your nose up in the air and think you were better than everybody else. And you'd stop praying too. So the Lord says, no, I'll give it to you through imparted righteousness as you need it. So ask me. Wake up in the morning and ask me to keep you. And every time the devil tempts you, pray and ask me to keep you and see if I won't do it. You know, we don't even understand the power of prayer. And some of us who pray don't know what prayer can do. I read in my Bible that prayer divided a sea so that people could walk over on dry land. I read in my Bible that prayer brought water out of a dry rock. I read in my Bible that prayer cooled Nebuchadnezzar's furnace so that the 3 Hebrew boys wouldn't burn up. I read in my Bible that prayer took away the appetites of lions and locked their jaws. I read in my Bible that prayer nauseated a whale and made him vomit up Jonah. I read in my Bible that prayer made the sun stand still and the moon got hung up over the valley of Ajalon. I read in my Bible that prayer has conquered devils, and prayer has sobered up drunkards, and prayer has restrained adulterers, and prayer has confounded infidels, and prayer has healed the sick, and bless God, prayer has brought food to my table. James Cleveland says when you get down to your last dime, he'll step right in on time. He's done it for me. I've sat down and looked at what I had, and I've told him, Lord, you said that if I served you, that you would take care of me, and this is all I got. And while I was praying, somebody came in and brought what I needed. We don't know the power of prayer, and with prayer comes the power to maintain your Christian experience. You can live right. Oh, yes, you can. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, the Bible says, Philippians 1, 6, being confident of this one thing, he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. God doesn't bring you into his family and then forget about you. See, you don't understand God, and I don't either, frankly. But we think of God in human terms. God ain't human. He's God. God has some kind of way worked out by which he can keep a million worlds strung out in space and keep everything running and all of these worlds moving around their various suns in their trackless orbits. And at the same time, that God is not too busy to hear a sinner pray in Washington, D.C. That's the kind of God I'm talking about, folks. In Romans 8:21, the Bible says, the creature, that's us, the creature shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Let everybody say amen tonight. That's a promise and pledge of Almighty God. He said all you got to do is believe. You don't have to come with any money. Come without money and without price and take the water of life freely. You don't have to make any trips. You don't have to count any beads. You don't have to do any work at all. All you got to do is believe on the Son of God and have a heart willing to do his will. If you believe on me and if you ask in faith, the Bible says the creature shall be delivered. And I'm talking to the worst sinner here, and I know something about it. Wasn't born a saint, and nobody else was either. I know the Lord had to set me free. Lord, reach down in Greensboro, North Carolina, on Market Street. That was the worst street there. And he saw a gang of young fellas running up and down the street getting into mischief. And for some reason known only to his great heart, he reached down and he picked out one of those boys. And that boy was me. And my best buddy spent 22 years in the state penitentiary for robbery and murder. And my second best buddy was kicked out of college for selling dope. But here I am. What happened to me? 'Cause grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me on. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There is power in the blood tonight. And the creature shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, if I had time, I could tell you stories about men that I've preached to and worked with and prayed with, and I've seen transformation. I know a dope addict by name. He's one of my best buddies. He's a great big guy. And every time he sees me, he throws both arms around him. I call him Big Luke. Big Luke was a terrible man. He was so mean, the children in the neighborhood ran when they saw him coming. And Big Luke told me that he used to walk in his house and knock his wife down as a matter of introduction. He was mean. One day he walked into his home and caught his wife reading the Bible. And Luke said he snatched that Bible away from her and he slammed it into a trash can with all of his might. And he said to her, there's not going to be any Bibles around here till I say so. And then he went upstairs, head hurting, feeling miserable the way folks do when they serve the devil. Laid down across the bed to get a little rest, and when he laid down, there was another Bible. And Luke said it made him so mad. He told us in church, right in front of his wife, Luke said it made him so mad when he saw that Bible, he jumped up out of the bed, he grabbed the Bible in his hand, he raised it up in the air, and was getting ready to throw it into the trash when he got an idea. And Luke said, instead of throwing it away this time, he turned his head up toward heaven and he yelled to the top of his voice, God, if you're up there, I'm going to give you one chance to speak to me. One chance only. He said, I'm going to throw this Bible up against the wall and I want it to fall open. And I'm going to walk over and put my finger on it. And if you are really God, I want you to speak to me. And then he told God, if you are what you claim to be, that ought not to be asking too much. And then he drew back and he let that Bible fly. And when the Bible hit the floor, it was open. And Luke Mitchell walked over and he stuck out his head. And at this point in the story, with tears streaming down his face, and he was talking quietly, he said, all of you who have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 5. And then without reading, he began to quote these words, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girdest thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created that. Tonight, while we sit here, Luke is at the same college I graduated from, studying to be a minister of the gospel. That same man out there. Oh, yes, you can live right. No secret what God can do. What he did for Big Luke, he'll do for you. But you got to come to the place you're willing to believe God. You got to believe in God. And you got to believe on God. And you got to be willing. And the Lord said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient. Isaiah 1, 18 and 19. Now, beloved, listen to me. The Holy Spirit is also God. And the Holy Spirit is real. Jesus got ready to leave. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he shall be with you and in you. That's the promise of Christ. And what we need tonight is an outpouring of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Would you say amen? And then in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The church tonight needs the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost comes, we got power to stop lying. The crooked can straighten up. The drunkard can stand up. And the liar can shut up. When we are filled with the Holy Ghost, there is a power available that will help us to live a life that will even surprise us, and it will surprise other folks, and they'll look at us, and they'll forget about all the dirt we did in the past. Instead of digging up your past, they'll say, look at him now. And that's what we need. The Bible says when the Holy Ghost has come now, you'll know it because he's going to guide you into all truth. John 16:13. Would you say amen out there? And he's going to give it to those who are willing to obey him. Acts 5:32. You ought to write that down. A lot of folk are claiming the Holy Ghost. Well, they got a ghost, but he ain't holy. The Holy Spirit changes a man's life. He doesn't make you gibber and babble. He gives you the fruits of the Spirit. He helps you to love everybody. He helps you to love your enemies. He helps you to be kind. He helps you to act like Jesus. He helps you to think clean thoughts. He helps you to go straight home to your own wife. Let's say amen. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. It's not a business of just getting in church and yelling and screaming and shouting. Now, I'm not against people expressing themselves, and I've made that clear to you. But shouting is not evidence you've got the Holy Ghost. I heard Bob Willis say one time, it's not how high you jump when you shout, it's how straight you walk when you hit the ground. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. Would you say amen out there? You got to stop dilly-dallying with the devil, standing off in little corners talking and making deals with the devil himself. You got to cut that out. You got to learn to run from the devil. One time the devil was after Joseph, and he had a beautiful woman. And Joseph said to her, I can't do this great sin against God and against your husband. And the Bible says, even though he explained it, she grabbed a hold of him anyhow. And when she grabbed him, Joseph turned around and took off. He ran so fast that he left his coat in her hands. Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when you don't need to try to explain anything to the devil. What you need to do is take off. Now, Jesus is our example. On the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm sorry, on the Mount of Temptation, the Mount of Temptation. After Christ had fasted for 40 days and his flesh was weakened by all of this, the devil came. That's the way he always comes. He comes seeking you when you're weak, when you're down, when you got troubles, when you're discouraged. And so he waited until Jesus was weakened by 40 days of fasting, and then he came out there to see what he could do with the Lord. And he said something to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Satan, it is written." And then he said something else, and Jesus said, "Satan, it is written." And then he said something else, and Jesus said, "Satan, it is written." And then Jesus said, "Get thee hence behind me, Satan." Now I want you to know something. Jesus wasn't trying to be diplomatic with the devil. Jesus cut him short. And there are times when the devil is trying to lay a trap for you. You shouldn't stand there explaining your position. Cut him short. When she calls you on the phone trying to alienate your affections from your wife, hang up. Cut him short. And then look him in the eye with holy boldness. You don't have to be scared of him when you're on the Lord's side. Look at him like Jesus did and say, "Get behind me, Satan. Leave me alone." And by the way, when Jesus told Satan to get behind him, he had to get. And when you stand on the word of God, you can stand on it and look the devil in the eye and say, "Get behind me," and he's got to go. That's what the Bible meant when it said, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." We spend too much time trying to reason with the devil. You've got you into all truth. You know what the Lord said to you and me? He said, "Be ye perfect." Now, that's the word you're scared of, isn't it? Matthew 5:48, write it down, and it came from Jesus. He said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Colossians 4:12, write it down. The Bible says, "Laboring fervently for you in prayer, that ye may stand perfect and complete in the will of God." Would you say amen out there? Now, the Bible says, be perfect. Paul said to the people he had won, "I'm praying for you that you'll stand perfect and complete." Is the Bible lying again? Do you believe God? Do you believe in God? Then God says, be perfect. And I'm not scared of that either. Now, I'm not standing up here telling you I don't have a weakness in the world or a temptation in the world. Yes, I do. But I'm telling you that I can lean on the everlasting God. I can depend on the Lord. I can pray so that even though I'm weak, I'm still strong. I don't have to fall down and gravel around in the mud and the muck just because I'm weak. Because when I'm weak, there's somebody with strength. When I don't have power, there's somebody with the power. When I don't know what to do, there is a voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." When I don't know where to go, there is the Holy Ghost guiding me into all truth. Would you say amen out there? Oh, yes, sir. So I'm not scared of the word perfect. The reason a man can be perfect is because he heard something one day. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Let me in. I'll come into you and will sup with you and you with me." Just let him in. That's all you got to do. Let him in. And then keep him in. If you let him in today and then you go running off to some show or something, he doesn't go to those places. So when you go, he leaves. We preach the gospel out here every night. Saturday night, they had a rock concert here. It started at midnight. Well, I know the Lord was here earlier in the evening. But from midnight on, angels weren't in here. The only angels in here were fallen angels. There's some places God doesn't go. Would you say amen out there? So he said, "Let me come into your heart." Well, Lord, what you going to do if I invite you to come and take over my life? He said, "Not only am I going to pardon you for all the wrong you've ever done, but I'm going to cover you with the righteousness of Christ. I'm going to cover you as with a robe." Lord, make it clear. All right, I'll tell you a parable. There was a prodigal son who left home, wasted all of his money, ended up in the pig pen, started home. And the father saw him coming and ran out to meet him. And that boy was covered with a stench and filth of pig manure. But the father was out there with his arms around him. And when he saw other folks coming, he didn't want them to see how bad his boy looked. So he took off his own garment. And he covered that boy up so that when they got there, all they could see was the rich garment of the rich father. Jesus said, "My heavenly Father is like that. When you come to him ragged and dirty and filthy, he takes your sin away, and then he covers you up with the life of Jesus, so that when even
Son was hanging on the cross. And the Bible says it was His only begotten Son. And God was watching that scene. In fact, the Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Him. God made darkness His pavilion. And He came down to be near His Son. And there was God enshrouded in darkness. Had He revealed His glory, everybody would have been struck dead. So He kept Himself covered up. But He's there next to the cross, watching His Son pour out His life. While this scene was unfolding, a rotten sinner hanging on another cross looked to the cross in the middle. And he said, Lord! And the minute he said, Lord, he was saying, I accept You to take charge of my life. I believe in You. I'm calling You Lord. Lord, remember me. Remember me when You come in Your kingdom. And Jesus stopped dying long enough to hear that sinner's prayer and answer it. He said, I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. And now God, who had been watching His only Son on a cross, looks, and instead of one son, He's got two sons. And they both look just alike. One of them is His only begotten Son. The other is a rotten thief covered with the life of His only begotten Son. That's grace. That's what's available. Thank God. That's what's available. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. You hear that? You who come to the Lord, don't make it a brand new start every day. Once you come, once you make a surrender, once you accept, once you believe, once you confess, that's the foundation of repentance. From that point, don't keep looking back. Let us go on. Forget that now. Let's go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance. Isn't the Bible clear when you take time to understand it and read it? God says, I don't like for my people to always come as though it's the first time. Once you're in my family, you're in my family. I don't throw you away every time you slip. I don't throw you away every time you stumble. You don't have to keep starting all over. Let's move on now. Let's go on to higher heights. Let's go on to deeper depths. Let's go on from light to light. Let's march on from glory to glory. Let's go on and let me make something out of you. Let's go on unto perfection. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 15, Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press forward to the mark of the high calling. You shouldn't always be looking back. If you've been a terrible sinner and God has forgiven you, don't keep looking back. The devil will think you are hankering for the old life. And every time you look back, the devil is back there. Because that's what you did when you got converted. You said, get behind me, Satan. He's still there. He's not going to let you go. He's going to be trying for you as long as you live. And even when you come down to press a dying pillar, the devil will come sneaking in your room, trying to discourage you in life's last moment. That's the kind of rotten, good-for-nothing devil he is. So the Lord said, don't keep looking back. Once you've done it, look ahead. Paul said, I don't count myself to have apprehended. I don't think I'm all I want to be, but there's one thing I'm doing. I'm forgetting now the past, and I'm pressing forward to the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Oh, you say, Pastor, that sounds so encouraging. Now I want to know, can I hold out? If you can't, then God ain't for real. If you can't hold out, then God is a fraud. I read again Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Hebrews 2:18 says, he was tempted in all points like as you, yet without sin. And he's able to succor them that are tempted. That means he's able to save and revive and strengthen those who are being tempted. And we read in Hebrews 4:15 that we have such an high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus lived in the flesh, therefore he knows about temptation. And when you are going through it, and when the devil is riding your back, and when trials and temptations assail, Christ understands. There's a song that says, no one understands like Jesus. I'm so glad for that, I don't know what to do. When you don't have enough to eat, Jesus understands. He went through that. When you have to live in a bad section of town, he understands. He had to live in Nazareth. When your loved one dies, he understands his earthly father died before him, and so did Lazarus, one of his best friends. He understands. He understands. And when you are struggling with the flesh, and when the devil is really working on you, he understands. For he was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. Perfect! What does it mean? Perfect in your sphere of existence and circumstances as God is in his. I could tell a mother to bring up an infant baby, and that infant baby would be perfect. Not deformed. Got enough fingers and toes. Intelligence in its eyes. But that baby can't talk. And that baby can't walk. And that baby can't read. And that baby can't write. And yet it's perfect at its time. Now, if it gets to be 10 years old and it still can't walk, and it still can't talk, then it's no longer perfect. Isn't that right? Jesus uses this analogy. He said you got to be born again. Then he said, once you're born, you should desire the sincere milk of the word. That's the difference in preaching out here and preaching at some university. I'm not trying to be theological and intellectualize and existentialize the gospel. I'm supposed to give you the milk. That's what Jesus said. Give the folks the milk. And if they are converted, they're newborn babes. Now, babes don't know everything, do they? But they can be perfect. Babes can't even walk straight, but they're perfect. Nobody is loved more than a baby. Jesus said you're born again, you're a babe, and you gotta grow. And after 5 years, if you haven't grown, you're no longer perfect. But as long as you're walking with me and growing and developing, I regard you as perfect. Here's a perfect baby learning to walk. Have you ever seen a child try to walk for the first time without stumbling? Now, when that child falls, does a loving parent go over and kick the child and say, you're no good, I don't want to bother you anymore? No, sir. A loving parent praises the child. A loving parent picks the child up. A loving parent brushes off the dust and smooths the hands that got bruised. And then a loving parent says, oh, that's all right, honey. Let's try it again now. I'll walk with you. God says, you're my baby. You're just a newborn babe. And when you start walking this Christian walk, you're going to make some mistakes. You're going to stumble and fall, but thank God you don't have to lie there. Get up. Dust yourself off by asking forgiveness. And the Holy Ghost will smooth your bruised feelings. And the Lord says, now, you just try it again, and I'll go along with you. You're a babe. Perfect. And yet not what the preacher is, or some old saint that's been serving God for 40 years. You got to grow to that. But perfect as you grow, stop being so discouraged with yourself and so impatient with yourself. Would you say amen out there? My wife is a school teacher, and almost every night she brings home these hands full of paper to correct, you know. And sometimes I take a look at that math those kids do in the fourth grade, and it is atrocious. Their writing is terrible. I wouldn't say this to them, you understand that. And I watch my wife and her interest in those young people and her patience. She reads every sentence. She checks every word. She helps them with their spelling. She writes little notes on their papers for them. And every now and then, some little child in the fourth grade does little problems like 100 plus 200 equals 300. And she puts a big C on it for correct. And if they get them all right, she puts an A on the paper. And an A is an A. That child can't do calculus. That child can't do trigonometry. And my wife isn't expecting that child to work out the theory of relativity. The parent and the mother and the teacher, they are satisfied if the child can add 200 and 100 equals 300. That's the lesson, and they get an A. If you get to be 40 years old and do calculus, all you can get is an A. Would you say amen out there? The Lord says, all right, you're a child. This is your lesson. Let's make an A. When you're in the church 40 years, all you can get is an A. That's perfect. You can live right. Oh, yes, you can. Let's cut these lights out and get the screen down. I'm talking too much here tonight. And I want to close with these words. As the screen comes down and the lights go out, oh, settle it in your mind. If the devil has been riding your back and making a slave out of you, you don't have to live like that. And I expect everybody to say amen when I make that statement. You don't have to carry the devil around on your back. You don't have to be a slave any longer. The Bible says ye shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? And the Bible says when the Lord sets you free, you're going to be free indeed. Would you say amen out there? Oh, look here. I know what I'm talking about. There were times when I had some little old habits, you know, and the devil was using them like chains to bind me and make a slave out of me. One of them, just one of them, was cigarettes, you know. And I was getting into it real good when all of a sudden the good Lord got a hold of me by his grace, and he said to me, Charles, I'm going to set you free. He set me free 38 years ago, and I tell you tonight, I'd rather fight than switch. When the Lord sets you free, you're free indeed. Would you say amen out there? Now, whatever your problem is, he can set you free. It might be adultery. It might be fornication. It might be just plain old immorality. It might be homosexuality. It might be drugs. It might be liquor. I don't care what it is. The truth will set you free. And Christ is the answer. But you've got to decide. You've got to decide whether you want the answer or not. You've got to decide yourself whether you're willing to obey the Lord. And if you make that decision, the Lord makes one thing clear. Without me, you can do nothing, but with God, all things are what? That's what the Bible says. Now, you've got to be born again. You can't just do this with willpower. You can't do this by making up your mind. You can't do this by being strong of character. You can't do this by getting a good education. You can't do this by moving to a better community. You can't do this by getting a better job and buying better clothes. You can't do this by reading a lot of books. You've got to be born again. Would you say amen? Ladies and gentlemen, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. If you call yourself a Christian, you ought to act like a Christian, right? If you call yourself a Christian, you ought to stop doing that junk you've been doing all the time and discouraging other people. That's one reason a lot of folks won't join the church. They're tired of hypocrites. You ought to walk like Jesus, but you got to want to, and you got to ask him about it. And Jesus was obedient. Jesus kept the Sabbath. Jesus was kind and meek and temperate. Jesus was self-sacrificing. Jesus was love and joy and peace. And he didn't say, go. He said, follow me. Come along. Whatever you need, I'll do. You got to get rid of all this trash you feed your mind on. And you got to learn to appreciate holy things. You got to fall in love with the word of God. You got to be able to look out in faith and know there's a God watching over you. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You got to believe that all day long, every day. And just to know he's there will strengthen your backbone. My mother-in-law tells a story about my brother-in-law when he was a little boy. He was coming home from school and a big boy jumped on him and hurt him. And she heard him coming. He was crying and running. And this big boy was right after him, heading home. And mother said all she did was walk out on the front porch. And as soon as her son saw her, he didn't need another thing. He turned around and started taking care of business. All he needed to know was that mother was nearby. Jesus has promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Anytime you're in trouble, call him up. Tell him what you want. There's a telephone to glory. And I want you to know 24 hours a day, heaven is open for business. You don't ever catch God sleep because the Bible says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. What do you say out there? You don't catch him tired and worn out because the Bible says he doesn't get weary. Now the Holy Ghost will come, whom the Father will send in my name, said Jesus, and he'll teach you all things. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into some of the truth. Into what? All thy commandments are true. So when the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to lead you not only into 9, but into all 10, which includes the Sabbath. Would you say amen? And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that what? Now, I didn't write that. You want the Holy Ghost inside of you? You got to have a mind made up to obey God. And when you decide to obey him, the Holy Spirit will come in. Now, for all the junk you've done, and for all you might do in the future, it's already taken care of. Jesus paid it all. Thank God tonight for Jesus. You know, I have to preach truth to you and I have to read the Bible to you. But every day when I sit for an hour or two with the word, every day I bow my head and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to know how to lift up Jesus. Because he's all we need. And he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I want you to know tonight, Christ is all in all, this world to me. And not only that, he's paid your debt, paid in the gold of his blood and the silver of his tears. He's paid.
Jesus paid it all. Oh, how he suffered to work it out for you.
That's God hanging on a cross. Somebody got upset because we have pictures. All we're trying to do is give you representations. That's all. Just give you, we're trying to get you to think, guide your thoughts. I'm not saying Christ looked just like that. But on the cross, he died. I know that. And I know he died between two thieves. I know that. And as we move in, we see that sacred head wounded, and we see the spear being driven in his side. The Son of God died wearing a crown of thorns that you might wear, a crown of glory. Died on a cross that you might get a crown. He's paid the debt. Doesn't make sense to go to hell, does it? Doesn't make sense. Because he not only died, he rose up from the dead. What do you say? My God is alive tonight. Other folks worship gods and they go to the tombs and bow down. I will go to an empty tomb. My God's in glory. Jesus is alive tonight. What's he doing? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing there? He's making intercession for us. He's pleading for sinners. He's listening to hear you ask for forgiveness so that he can hurry up and do it. He's there to take care of us and our needs so that we may live right. And tonight I declare by his word, you can live right. Oh, yes, you can. The question is, do you want to? That's the question. That's the question I end this service with on time. Do you want to? You're hearing God's word from night to night. I'm not out here to entertain anybody. And what we do is not easy. And we're certainly not getting rich from it. That ought to be refreshing to you. You're not buying me any 16 Rolls Royces. We're out here to tell you what thus saith the Lord. And I believe you're enjoying God's word, aren't you? It's a feast every night to know how clearly and how encouragingly and how lovingly the great God of heaven has addressed himself to us, and that he has comprehended all of our problems and needs, and he's taken care of them if we only will to do his will, if we only want to be saved, and will believe on him, we can make it. Oh, yes, we can. Is that what you want? Now, wait a minute. Don't just say amen because you're caught up in this thing. I want you to close your eyes for a moment and think. I want you to close your eyes and think. Think about what you've heard tonight from the Bible. Now I want to ask you, and I want you to be intelligent, not just emotional, but intelligent. I want you to think and then decide, do you really believe what you've heard tonight, and do you really want to be kept only unto Jesus? If so, I want you to stand right now. In the quietness of your own decision, stand right now. Don't play with God now. You don't have to stand. I can't even see you out there with the spotlight in my eyes. But if you mean it, stand quietly. And let us close with prayer. Oh, Lord, we're not going to multiply words. Our standing expresses our faith and our need. We want to be saved. We want to belong to you. We want to stop doing wrong. We want to obey your voice. Is that right, folks? So hear us, Lord, and have mercy. And bless the worst sinner here and everybody else in Jesus' name. Oh, saints, there is someone who cares. When it seems you just can't do right, there is someone who cares. Just pray with all your might. There is someone who cares. He'll fill your soul with light. For that someone who cares is Jesus. There is someone who cares when you know how weak you are. There is someone who cares when you've drifted away so far. There is someone who cares. He'll bring you up to par. For that someone who cares is Jesus. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The
The Lord cause his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon thee and give thee peace in your hearts, in your minds, in your homes. Tomorrow night's message will be an interesting one. It's called The Law We Don't Have to Obey. And you ought to be here for that. Don't let rain or snow or any other creature keep you away. You've got a rendezvous with God here tomorrow night. Oh, precious Lord, watch over us and bring us back into your presence at the appointed hour. We beg in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Be careful now. May God bless you. We love you. Pray for us. We are certainly praying for you. God bless you, everyone.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.